Yeah.
Oh, we're coming to you live from the heart of Merriweather, Townsend Oval. It's Casual Fridays, episode 17 of In the Green Room. I start with a bang today, and I've got two whiz bangers sitting right next to me, the Clifton brothers. Say g'day, boys.
Jonesy, Bugs.
How are we, guys?
Jonesy, Bugs. You good?
I had some energy there.
Come out swinging.
Yeah, fucking nice.
Straight from jiu-jitsu.
That's the guy. That's right. I'll choke you to death. I'll twist your fucking head off.
He's hot.
And the sun is set just over there, all over there. Townsend, we're loving it. The boys are out there having a run around, rolling into the back end of the season.
I don't miss that, that's for sure.
Yeah. What about that wind today? They'll be out fucking freezing.
Leave me out of that.
Blow your hair right off.
I actually, I opened up my mouth and blew a hole in the back of my pants. It was that windy at one point today. Oh, fuck it. How are you, Pugger? How's your footy career going? No injuries yet?
No, I'm sweet.
You scored any meat? Got any meat yet?
I would have on Friday night.
This is controversial.
Except I didn't.
They put a kick in.
Go from the top.
Hamo's put a kick in.
Thank you from the chorus.
And Eddie's at fullback. He's caught it. It was a great catch, too. And
I actually didn't catch it.
Oh, didn't you?
It went past me. I remember when I had my head.
I did too. Then he got it. Little chip and chase. So I just stood still waiting for him to run me off.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to run it back.
Save the legs.
Yeah, that's right. Save yourself for a burst later.
Exactly. So he's ran up. Thrown a wild ball to Regan Tanner.
Hand grenade.
Yeah. He's also made a few. Eddie's got back up off the ground. Gone inside the reeds. Got it. Ran me on in the meantime. So I'm standing up into the 20. And then I said, I'm inside. And he's thrown it back out the reeds on the outside. Reeds went outside. Went out. I was open.
I
would have been under the post.
Regan? Show and go.
Regan or Pugger? Who would you choose?
Pugger. He's my best friend.
Reeds had already ran back.
You're fresh.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, but my bad. That's my
standing still pays off.
Yeah,
well, what a night.
And you stonked him, 40-something blood or something?
49.
What was the food like? I always hear the food's great on a social fours night.
That was good.
Eddie was much same.
You're vegan.
Boxy made a nice pulled pork. And
I've seen Boxy's pulled pork.
It was a different one. It's good.
Yeah, beautiful. Bit of gravy run down your chin.
Yes.
Sorry, boys. I'm swinging.
Yeah.
I'm going for the ropes.
Coming not.
Wow.
Oh,
well, it's good to have you guys here.
Cheers. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for your time. I know.
It was a late call.
Yeah.
I love the late start. 2 o'clock. We'll take it. Prep well.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
So, how did you guys end up at the Greens?
Well, you can go first. You were there first.
Yeah. So. Basically, obviously, me and Eddie grew up just around the corner here.
Followed Sam.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Basically, everything I do in life, I'm the guinea pig, and Eddie just sits in behind and gets a suck run and then normally peels out and goes bang. But, we grew up around the corner, obviously. But, I went to growing up, I played a lot of touch football, obviously, and I went to school with Coffee. It was my best mate at school, believe it or not. Shout out to the Coff Dog.
Yeah.
And we were sick as thieves and, like, He just started playing rugby and, started killing it. And, I'd literally latched on his coattails and joined the Greens probably under 16. So I was a bit of a late starter.
Rugby league before now, or just touch?
Just touch, okay. So, I'm tiny now and I was tiny then. But, started playing 16s, 17s, 18s, just literally making up the numbers. And, loved it that much. And then it just kind of went bang. And within, made my first grade debut when I was 18. So out of Colts, got the call up. Yep. And, kind of just kind of stemmed from there. And, got the bug, I guess. And, Eddie followed suit.
I watched Sam do that for 2 years. And then I thought.
Stephen Bradbury, the way
let him try it for 2 years. And then I followed suit. I'd started under 16s as well. And then I had mates all through school playing playing for the Greens. I was playing soccer.
You did have 1 year at the Poons, don't forget.
Did you really?
We probably should mention that. But anyway.
Why would you bring that up on the podcast?
Wow. So when I first
you put yourself in a wood chipper.
We're known for breaking news, aren't we?
That's right. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Most people do know that. But when I first went to play,
there was no team. There was no 18s.
Yeah. And I was string band. I would have had to play up in 18s or way down and play 16s or something. So
yeah. Regrettably so.
Yeah. Regrettably so. Yeah.
Tim Wolf did.
I kept that quiet most of my rugby career. Yeah. But most people. Few people know.
Look at double agent, really. Yeah, you look at like that. You're a double agent.
I mean,
I didn't know that.
You look at the greats that have done that. Yep. Tim Wolf.
Yeah, he's a wonderful footballer.
Mm. Kevil.
Forshaw had a go at it.
Forshaw's been for every part.
Well, it sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. Neto. Nah. He hasn't gone back. He loves it.
Neto loves it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But now we're here.
So you made your first grade debut at 18?
Yeah, I was playing Colts, yeah. Robbo was coaching, and I was playing up in the Colts, and it was a bit out of the blue, but Tivius and Shorey gave us a taste in 07.
Yep.
And then so I was only 18, and then
we won the compo 7.
Yeah, so I got a taste in first grade that year, and then obviously they moved on. Then 08 was my kind of first full year in first grade, so
yeah,
I kind of went from there. So.
Who gave me – Jason Toby gave me the call up. I won't forget it. I think I was like 20.
He loved the touch, guys, Tobes.
He loved the touch, yeah.
He looked after me in our time.
Are you sure? Are you sure? He loved the winger, mate.
He never doubted the touchies, old Tobes.
But I remember it was here at Townsend against Uni. Gilly was playing, and I was like, anyway. But I must have been 20. I think I was a little bit later than Sam. I think I was 23. Something like that, but it was great. And then
run on debutant, run on debutant, you as well.
I was a run on,
yeah, it's good,
yeah. It was a bit more daunting, because you're not just making up the numbers at the end of the day, but it was good, yeah. And then made my way swiftly back down the grades, importantly, now
grade of all, Friday night balls.
What about you, Sean?
But you do have, you've got some amazing teammates that you're playing with now.
Absolutely.
Could you rattle a few off?
Off the top, mate? Yeah. we got the great Pugger. Where are you playing? Where are you playing, actually?
I'm starting a bit. Eight.
We've got roving positions.
Yeah, yeah. On the side of number 8.
Yeah, he's ball playing started. Number 8.
Ball playing, yeah. Like his.
Yeah.
So as I bring Tanner came on for me, actually.
Yeah.
He goes, I've got a packet number 8. What do I do? And I said, at the back of the scrum, just like Junior Pierce did. He goes, gotcha.
Done. You did do really well when you went out in the forwards. Yeah. But Tim Wolfe's made a couple of appearances. Reunited with Cabby. He came out, did his knee.
Oh, yeah, scored. He's gone. I scored that night. I was here that night. Yeah. Scored.
Yep.
And then did his knee.
No, I think it's a great avenue for people to come back and make a little,
He hasn't been seen since. Yeah. I can't comment. I had 10,000 injuries in my life, so I can't really comment on the guy still playing. So I was.
actually, I've got that written down. What was the injury that?
I had a snapped my collarbone real bad and had that all plated and screwed. But the big one was 2011.
Yep.
He actually playing, I think it was Hammo, like top of the table clash. We were undefeated that year. So I played fullback all year and I think it might have been Louis Cat that got me anyway. Literally made a half break and just. Yeah, fractured, dislocated my sternum and collarbone, so it was just a mess. So,
that was it.
Yeah,
you played after.
So played the next year, and we after 2011 played the next year. We had a much weaker squad, but we still made the grand final. Had the game of our lives against Lake Macquarie in the prelim, and then that was the year we got flogged 40-0 by Hammo. Yeah, we had we had Wadey and Kevill pull out the day before, and it was just actually, I don't know, that Hammer red hot then too. So
we had a
cracking game again. I think we played our grand final the week before against Lake Macquarie. That was massive, and we got Louis. We had a lot of young kids like Darby O'Leary, Louis Dunn. We had a really good young team, but nothing of the 2011 caliber. And like, we did so well to get the grand final, and then Hammer just, not much went our way, and we just got steamrolled. But but to be honest, after the 2011 injury, like, I never really recovered, really. Like, and then I think I had one more year, and the confidence was shot. So it was look at me. I squeezed a lot out of my body what I could. So I wasn't designed to play a footy, but it was good fun.
You ended up with a groin injury too, didn't you?
Yeah, so on the back of that, then I had surgery on both my groins, and it just, that was 2013, and I think I came back and played a semi in third grade and got smoked by someone. I was like, that's me done. So it was just, that was the point. I was like, I was just, time of my life, but this wasn't much luck, unfortunately. But
did it hurt missing out on that 2011 grand final?
Oh, big time! Like, massive. But in the same time, I was just stoked to be there, and like, I ran water, and like, it's not the same. Yeah. But I just knew what we'd done up till then, and how big it was. The other thing, like, I played in the 2009 grand final where we lost to Wanderers in extra time, and that stung. Like, that was massive. And then we went out in straight sense the year after. So it's kind of like 08, 09, 010. Like, there's a lot building up to 2011.
Yeah.
And the side we had was unstoppable. Like, it was a cracking side. And Vegas, my best mate, came in at fullback and absolutely nailed it for the back end of the year. And I was stoked. It was one of the best weekends I've been part of. So and the guys are great. Obviously, I missed out, but they're great. They acknowledge it, and I've felt a part of it. That's for sure.
We had
Strawny. Yeah, Strawn took over the kicking.
He
nailed it. I know, I was down here with him, like, he killed it.
Yeah, he did.
The whole back end of the year, he killed it. And I wasn't working, I wasn't doing much, so we just come down and have a kick, and he was he was actually kicking better than me by the end of it, I think, but anyway.
And you missed it, but you didn't come to the reunion.
What? Oh, don't get me started on that. Yeah,
the old
COVID breach got me. So I was ready to run the gauntlet. Yeah, I'd been down the coast for work. Anyway, I was going to run the gauntlet, but thought better of it. But anyway, yeah, that hurt too. But anyway, yeah, we'll be making up this weekend for the Argentina reunion. So
yes, you've been club captain.
Yes.
I did it for 4 years.
So it was
that was a tough gig then too.
You did it through probably that period where you won first grade.
Oh, and like it's a great gig, but it's a tough gig. Like, you'd be out at Disneyland like after first grade, and everyone's going back to the Burwood. I can't scull a beer. Anyway, I'm anchoring the boat leg. Anyway, but
I think Sean Rich had a little stint.
He was in and out
because that's part of the skill of being club captain, knowing who to offload it to. And then Sean Rich got in, got out, and then. I got it for 4 years, and then,
but it suits someone like Billy Dunn to it too. Like they're the kind of people that.
as much as it is a tough gig, I think it's anyone out there wanting to become a club. It was a bit of an honour. You get to be the club captain when you. And I did the first prezzo in this room, and I thought that's
pretty special.
Had a mic for once instead of yelling out in the green room.
Standing on a rickety table.
I learned how to whistle. That was probably the first thing someone said. It might have been Brighty, like, Eddie, make sure you learn how to whistle.
Yeah, that was tough in the old green room when it was rocking.
When you have to round everyone up after a game, they're all hyped. They're telling.
We got the bell.
The bell is handy. That was Jamie's.
Except if you're standing right underneath it.
Yeah.
You're standing right underneath it.
No, club captain's good. Yeah, did that for 4 years and then handed it over to Billy. We sort of, that tradition of
Bill's still doing it?
Yeah, Bill. Well, we didn't really get a chance.
He might be doing it when he's 54. He'd still be club captain, I reckon.
Well, yeah, I tried to offload it multiple years and then no one really did it. So it's sort of like, Eddie, you're club captain again. And I was happy to do it as I was playing. But when you slip down the grades and you're not playing first grade, so you
finished playing second grade and want to go home. Or you're injured, yeah, which I was half the time as well.
Yeah.
You've got to hang around and do the prezzo. And like sometimes you're stuck at Maitland on a Saturday night and they're just, they love it up there. So they're in no hurry to do a prezzo.
But no, and, Eddie's right. You meet some good people though. Like
yeah,
and some of the club cats, the clubmen's around there. Yeah. Like we are lucky in the comm in Newcastle. There's so each club's got great, like you've interviewed a few of them here. Like each club's got so many good clubmen that
and you know the club captains are the best.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, some are. You know, right,
they make it all experience
at the clubs, and you get to meet them. So
The best one I've seen is Anthony Partridge. Just the way he delivers and just everyone's just watching.
He just everyone hangs on every word. Yeah. Like, and Singo is one of the best trips you could do. Like when the bus is humming. Like
he still does it. I think
it's
magic.
You don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but usually he just merges it all in and then someone.
I like it with the club captain, just make up the points.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Benno.
Look around, whoever's in the room, and if they're in the room, points. And I saw them play, I'll give them points.
I'll tell you what, there's such reports. I haven't been asked who's my player played once.
Yeah, neither. Yeah, but they always announce it. Have you not got points yet?
Well, I thought I deserved something.
You
did.
For the support.
Saving energy.
For the support.
Yeah.
Oh, every little
in and out. Oh, no one saw that. Oh, did anyone see that?
That was in the second half.
late. 78th minute.
On the field or in the car?
I was also backing up Hudson Price too. I was on the inside.
Oh, yeah. Mate, he's a gun too.
Anyway. The team, have you been keeping an eye on? You have, obviously.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on.
Yep. Not as much. Yeah.
I'm going to grab some water.
Up in Scone. yeah, not as much as I have been, but I Saturday afternoon I whack on the Facebook stream. But from what I've seen, like, I love it. Like, it reminds us a lot of those, 08, 09, 10, 11, like, super young team, quality backs that just back themselves and got X Factor and they've got a good tough little four pack too. I love the way they're playing. And I think Crichton and Kramer, like, they were part of those teams back then when we were playing. And I see a lot of that in the way they're playing. Like, I love seeing those guys back themselves, especially the backs. But it's good footy to watch. That's the main thing.
It's a special kind of team when you've got someone like Lockie Hilton who can mix it up in the forwards
and got the skill
and then move out of the centres and not miss the big pace.
Play centres. First grade Central Charlestown. Fucking weapon.
Not many people have done that, surely.
No. What if we won both comps in the same year? No one would have ever done that before.
I just wonder how he's feeling on a Monday.
They train here on a Monday.
He trains here.
He doesn't train here. He plays for Central.
Yeah, but they train here on a Monday night. And it's Greens.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they play Sunday, train Monday, train Tuesday, train Wednesday, move Thursday, to Wednesday. Friday off, and then Saturday, Sunday.
Do you guys see any similarities? Do you see any similarities between the 2011 side and this side?
Eddie Rousey now reminds me of you playing sort of back in the day, like just that string bean sort of fullback.
He's probably a bit tougher, probably gets through a few more games.
Like 21 points.
Yeah. But
before at half time last week.
Yeah. And then Jamie pulled him off because he. I think it was Abbott.
Jamie, you dirty dog.
Oh, no, to preserve him.
I know what you mean.
Not that dog. I think so. Yeah. I mean, I hear enough of it.
Yeah. 2011, we had a lot of experience in 2011. Yeah. Like not only forwards, but even the backs. Like, we had Rudder and Gill, like, and they were just so.
Yeah.
They just led from the front, from the backs. But they remind me a lot of our 08, 09, 010 sides where, like, we had lots of Strawny and Crichton and myself, Cal, like a lot of young guys, like, Coffee, like a lot of young guys that are, building up. So I think, it'd be great to see them win it this year, but I think if this crew can sit together, I can see it happening in the next few years if it doesn't happen this year. So, they got a good core there, and I think that's what contributed to 2011, having those years before it, but, they can probably win it this year. But, it'd be great to see.
I've seen a couple of times on this and at the pub. numerous times if they kick.
What time was that?
Says it constantly.
Anyone listening?
We'll win it.
Yeah. Any time from 9 o'clock.
TM.
AM. If they keep the same core,
yep,
blokes, there's no reason why they can't do a run like what Hammer just done.
And they're in good hands. Like I know someone like Kramer, and obviously I played with him, but you just know what he's like, and he's just got that natural ability to get the best out of people. Yeah. Like I just don't know what it is. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's just if he's in you're up in the room watching, like, you just want to run out there and play. So I think and Crichton's he's a pretty smart footballer. So I think it's a great mix, and I think it's showing. So that toughness and that skill, I think it's blending well out there.
I wonder what Kramer's game plan is like. Is there anything like the email he sent you and Bernie?
Oh, you just let him go.
He's got a new computer screen at work that's dedicated to rugby. He's got 3 screens and he's got 1 for rugby. And
careful.
I sit in the office, I sit near them, and I like Blake's there, Kramer's over there, and you know, they're always talking rugby. They put it together, and they're doing a really good job, I think. So I've got to be careful what I say. They're in a good spot.
Yeah. I remember when Danny was coaching, I was doing pre-season, and Cabby and Danny sent us off to go explain something to us. He's like, right, go off and do it. So we all broke up into sort of like whatever groups we were in. Cabby was in my group, thankfully, because we were all going, and Cabby's just like, maybe. Yeah. So this is.
Broke it down. Danny screaming when you said it?
Yeah. Cabby's a translator.
Cabby just simplified it all for us, and we were just like,
simple yet effective. Yeah.
They got that rugby language down pat.
Danny must have had a few young Henrys before training that night. Who knows?
The world's most angry man.
Wow, good question.
So mentioning before that it's the Argentinian reunion weekend this weekend. So yeah, both you boys were privy to go on that trip.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big eye opener for me. Like,
how old were you at the time?
I was 21, 10 years ago. So, I mean, 10 year reunion on the weekend. So 21, I was. Oh yeah, it was great. It was a classic. Just
so, who floated the idea originally? So let's do a trip.
I'm trying to. I reckon it's probably in the works early on.
Yeah, I know Denzo and Christine, like, they really drove it early on.
Maybe Cam's had been there or something and said maybe Argentina's the spot to go to. Well, but
would have probably maybe been there on an old.
I
don't know.
I just recall Denzo and Christine really driving it. And like, once the likes of Roach and that got a hold of it, it was just still airborne. Like, we were in there, we were in Argentina before we even got there. Like, and it just kind of, and that was when, like, 08, 09, 010, like, we're having a lot of success, and the club was firing. And
I think
it just built from there.
Yes,
club championships. We were winning like every club championship. I remember that was like the.
But there was a few people behind the scenes. I've got to be careful. Like, I know Peter. Like, there was a lot of people behind the scenes that, like you said, got it going. Like the cameras or the Pete Alcox. There was a lot there that were driving it in behind and doing fundraising and stuff. Like, planning the scene before we ever knew.
We had the easy job. As a 21-year-old, I had an easy job.
Pay your money
and
lob up.
Just rock up and go. And it was, and I just filmed the whole thing.
Oh, sweet.
I'll show you the video. We're watching a little bit of it.
Oh, sweet. What, have you edited something up for this weekend? You've always had it edited.
No, I was filming a lot back in the day. As soon as I got back, chopped it up, and we watched it at like the Day on the Green once or something.
Oh, awesome.
Lunch on the Green. And, it brought back a lot of memories watching that today, because I dug it up when you told me 12 o'clock we're doing this.
It was special. And like,
It was good for the club.
And we still talk about it.
Like, how many blokes went?
So I think it was about 30 to 40.
That's a good crew.
So there was, so it was pretty well structured as well. We had probably like, 18 to 20 players. And then we had the supporters as well. So we had some dads. Well, yes, but I'll tell them. When we rocked up that first game for the sevens, we did underestimate it a bit. We were on the piss all. Anyway. But we
bought a series for a week beforehand. And then we went down to Tandil. And we'd had a big night every night.
Oh, yeah,
and
But yeah, and then these guys.
But you're not really rocked up.
They were good to go, people on
the one bus and one hotel and another the other side of the earth that can't talk their language. Like, you know, it's gonna erupt. And like, I just like the build up was immense. Like it was great. And then, you know, just everyone on that, like just when we sat on that plane, it kind of it just hit. Like, like everyone was getting chirpy on the plane. Like, we were all in rows at Hickory Reed and bloody Tibby's behind me. Like, it was just, that kind of just built the things and it just went from there. So
it's funny that you mentioned the plane because I do a lot of research for this, as you might know, if you've ever watched it.
Me too.
Well, I know you're a big fan of the show. I do a little bit of research. So I reached out to Dingo.
And
he said that you sat next to Dingo on the flight.
Yes. I remember a photo of me. It was like me, Dingo, someone.
And Hika was in front of you.
His seat wouldn't recline
the whole way. And
so it was Hika. That was Hika and Tibius.
And as a joke, you say if you could put your seat up, even though it couldn't go up.
Oh, God.
So after a while, Hika sat forward for the rest of the trip and held the seat in the appropriate position.
So she was
stop his kicking.
I remember that. Like, I'm a big fan of Hika.
We were straight on the plane on the beers. Hika was asleep within half an hour.
Hika spent the whole trip like this.
Hold the seat. 13-hour flight or something. Every photo I've seen on the plane, I'm asleep. So I don't know.
How long was the flight? It must be massive to Chile, isn't it? Who are you going to fly to?
Argentina.
Straight to Buenos Aires. So, yeah, 13 hours. We got a bus from Townsend here. Like, we all rocked up. That was in the morning, got to the airport. Like, I reckon the whole, just when you're traveling with 38 people and like everyone's got their bags, it's a circus. And I reckon it took us 2 days till we got to that first pub type thing.
And the thing that set the tone, like for me, you look back on it and the things that set the tone, like we finally got in the hotel, it was like mid afternoon and we just like, there was a pub nearby in the middle of Buenos Aires and was like, let's get there.
Taxis were coming in different times and everyone's like, we found a pub.
I kid you not, Trent Considine, like, and it set the mood for the whole trip. Like, everyone's a bit flat. And we got back into this pub and everyone walked in. I kid you not, there was literally 100 shots of tequila.
Trent Considine was
the first one there and he said, oh,
give me 100.
Two. Just went bang. It probably only costed $100.
I think he asked how much they were. And they were like $1 or something.
So, ridiculous. As we all filed into this pub, it just set the tone. And from then on in, it was just that first night we
lost a couple of people.
Yeah, we lost a few soldiers out in battle.
They went and came back.
Someone experienced the Argentinian culture straight up. So others wanted to wait, but then some just, you know, we had activities every day and every morning there was bus calls and, you know, there's always people missing.
So that was actually one thing. Now that you said bus calls, we'd had that number system. So there were 38 of us and we had, every time we got on the bus,
roll call.
You had, you went 1, 2, and everyone started learning their numbers in Spanish. And I remember I was 8 because I was at Ocho. And but we did that and then someone missing. So where's 13? And then they're not there.
Miasi was 29. That's all Miasi I remember.
29!
Every night. Every day.
It's a great crew.
And you roomed with Dingo?
I did, He took me under his wing. I don't know. We were already good mates, but I think he's like, Eddie, you're with me.
He felt at home in Argentina, Dingo. He felt at home.
Him and James.
They just felt it. They blended in. They could talk.
We had a tour guide because it was run through a tour company. We had a tour guide and he was great. I remember seeing him in the video that I watched this before. But Dean kind of, if he was out, Dean could have been the tour guide because he knew what was going on. He was, but I was happy to,
He said that you guys had noise complaints on the first night. You guys were...
God, he's got a good memory.
That wasn't from Gabby Ferrari, was it?
It could have been Gabby Ferrari.
Noise complaints. That might have been upstairs. Can't remember. Just a few locals we met along the way.
Gabby could be
That's right. Yeah, taste the fine meats of Argentina.
Great name. We'll move on there, but I just that Trent Considine setting the tone. Yeah, like, yeah, it he just did really well. It set yeah. it up, and that first night it was chaos. But yeah,
no dramas. No, like, man, I got robbed or got in a fight or anything like that. No spoiled Denver the fun.
Was just telling me that. I saw him before we came in. He said someone did get fleeced on the way in to a bar. I think. But
the nightclubs, they were entering your own risk.
Yeah, like, if there was an issue, I didn't hear about. I don't think there was any major dramas. And everywhere we went, they just loved us. Tandil, when we went down to, so we started in Buenos Aires, went down 5-hour bus trip down to Tandil, and they like welcomed us with open arms.
That's where the big rugby tournament
is.
That's where the sevens tournament was.
The host rugby club that was hosting it, they were sponsored by the local nightclub.
Right.
And that's where we went for lunch when we rocked up.
Dinner.
And dinner. And then we went back there. Then we went to play. Then we went back there. And it was just, they loved us. And
were there any other international teams there for that comp?
There might have been one or two, but. The actual sevens we were the furthest ones there. There might have been nothing from Uruguay and stuff, but
it's just funny that like these Aussie guys are coming next. Yeah, the bus turns up, there's a bunch of drunks here.
and that's the thing, they pumped it up. Like when we got there, it's like us, like it's like an international team going to like a town like Dubbo or Tamworth, like the whole town just in
there.
So, like the night before, we were at the mayor's, we went to the mayor's lodge and had dinner and a beer and did a presentation. And then, like he said, we went to the clubhouse to have dinner. We all sat down in dinner in their club.
Yeah, sweet.
Like, literally, after we put our forks down, they started clearing the tables. They must want to see out of you pretty quick. And then it was like the green roof. The girls just started piling in. It just turned into a full nightclub. And this was the night before we played.
Yeah.
And sabotage. It was massive. Yeah,
sabotage.
And we rocked up to the next day just thinking, you know, we're just here to have a bit of fun in the sevens tournament. And they're like
– big boys.
That was like the sevens. It's huge in Argentina. You've just seen with the Olympics now. But, like, it's big over there. And there were some semi-professional teams there that could play. And we rocked up to our first game. Like, we had an A team and a B team. The B team, they had a bit of fun. But anyway, we rocked up for our first pool game. We underestimated it a bit.
Yeah.
We got towed up our first game, like towed up. And then it was weird. We just kind of clicked into gear.
Sobered up.
And then we actually, the next 2 days, we actually really.
So it was a 2-day thing?
Yeah. I think it might have been 3 days. Yeah. Okay. We're a little bit embarrassed. Like, we've come all this way. They put it on the list and we've been towed up our first game. We're all dusty, hungover.
Well,
like,
the first team I would have thought with the B team, which had Conti.
Roach was, you know how he dry reaches before the
he was
footy.
Yeah.
Like normally he does it with nerves, but he wasn't nerves. The nerves were the least of his worries. But
well, because he kicked a nice field goal too in one of the games.
That was amazing.
It was nice field 30, goal. 30-3.
Yeah. So the first game we're all a bit nervous, we're all a bit hungover, and the B team go out to play. So Roach, Conti, Forshaw, Tim Wolf at halfback, and it's like oh, this will be interesting.
Great seven side.
This will be interesting to get a gauge on the B team.
They had Luke Bray.
But anyway, it was 31-0 within 8 minutes, and thank God, you know, with 2 minutes to go, Conti decided to kick a field goal to put some respect on the scoreboards. But
was that just after Matt Dunning done it for the Warriors?
I think that what
was that
inspiration.
Matt Dunning's no Trent Considine.
No,
there's no man like
Trent. But anyway.
And the 18 won which is
we lost
because you lost the first pool game, so you dropped down.
We got put into the plate pool, and so we but we won every
then we went undefeated.
We won every other game from then, so we lost. I think we played 5 games and we lost one so
at the nightclub every night.
Every night.
I think first night we, second night we wound it down a bit,
but we turned up like I said, we got towed up our first game. Oh shit! And the guy, they were good footy players, like, and it was semi-professional guys, and we're like, we're gonna have to like show a bit of pride here, and I think we won our next 4 pool games. We just went bang, 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 and we had an awesome young team. Like we're coming through. We had some good results here with our backs. We had no forwards. Like, we had Coffee in the front row. We Dingo, Timmy Harwin. We had Sam Bright was playing prop.
I did see that in that video that you put. They switched it around a few times.
But then once they worked it out, that we had a really mobile team, and we actually. Put 4 on the trot and like quite easily, and then we hit the semis and the finals, and that grand final, like the I think the A grade grand final was later on, but you could not move for the B grade.
Really?
Grade. Like, well, everyone just wanted to watch us play, and we'd finally started playing some good footy.
Yeah,
and
it was a real town event. Cause
so where was it?
They had like a Tandil, so it was a couple of hours out of. So we had the first 5 days in Buenos Aires.
Yep.
to and get then, acclimatized,
and then bus trip,
and then we went down to Tandil. Yeah. So like I said before, it's like kind of going, it'd be like arriving in Sydney and then going to play a sevens tournament in Dubbo or Orange or Tamworth, and the whole town just
coming out.
And it was almost like the fact that we won that B, like it doesn't matter, it wasn't A or B. The fact that we won four in a row and then managed to go bang bang and win that, like it just went nuts. And the locals, they were happy for us to come all this way and actually win something.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the top dog.
In that local paper, I think the next.
Oh yeah, oh good.
In the paper, everyone was like, and but all the locals just loved us. And I remember the
fashion parade after.
Yeah, the fashion parade after. But like going to and from the games, there were like little kids there, and. You know, I think they might have known we were doing the boots for Buenos Aires. We all brought a heap of gear, just knowing that we're going to meet lots of little... And so we'll swap and stuff, and they're like, what's your name? And it was just when Facebook was sort of... Next thing, we're getting... Like, we all had Facebook requests from... It was like...
Gabby Ferrari.
But loved
and Racho Nacho. Like, I still have him.
Happy birthday. Or something, and it's like,
and one of the local kids from Tandil, he was Wolf's love child. Wolf loved him. He was his 17-year-old kid, but he actually kicked on and actually did quite well for Argentina in the sevens arena. It's funny looking back on it now,
we gave them all their greens. Then the next day at the tournament, they were rocking around in all the greens. They loved it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
And people, I saw that video. A few guys took a shining to Raptor.
Yes. Mm. So that was early on in the trip.
This was day two.
Day two.
For the red hair.
There's a big...
We had the big...
He had the red nut afro going in full swing. We're hitting the sightseeing. I think we went to there's a big famous cemetery around Buenos Aires. I don't know what it's called, but we were out the front of it and someone just stopped him and... speaking Spanish to him, whatever, and then next minute he pulled out his camera, next minute someone's popped up with a big sun thing, and there's someone on the getting the best shot of Raptor.
Well, he's on telly.
Well, no, they just loved his red hair.
It was a full magazine shoot. And then they did an interview with him, like the poor guy. They were hitting him questions with
full Spanish.
He's just replying in Aussie. And it was just, they had all the screens up.
To his credit, he just went with it and he started next thing.
He actually grew a leg after that, actually.
He loved it. And then everywhere we went, they...
Well, you know what Raptor's like.
They loved the red hair, yeah. No, that was good. They,
yeah, right.
They loved him.
That's the Ricoletta Cemetery.
Did you just Google that?
No.
It was funny when the night before, that was that first night, the next morning the bus call was on, we knew we were going to see some sights, and I reckon there was 13 of the 38 were on the bus. There wasn't much. There were a lot of us. I know I missed that cemetery, but anyway, it was that's another story.
And how long did you stay after the tournament?
Yeah, so after the tournament, which was a massive high, we went back to Buenos Aires.
Yeah, for a couple of nights.
And, in hindsight, like that was when we teed up with a couple of the big Buenos Aires clubs to do training sessions and a game. I say they're the equivalent, kind of like a shoot shield. Like it was quality rugby. These clubhouses were massive, and like we'd come off this massive high, the sevens, and we'd been on this massive bender, and
we won the sevens. We thought we won the sevens.
The last thing we needed was to go and do a few training drills with these professionals.
No,
and
we did a couple. Yeah. We didn't oppose like game and fuck with these guys.
We got towed up.
Full game or oppose session?
So it started as an opposed training session, and then we said, well, let's just go full 40 minutes.
Yeah. How'd Trent go?
He was coaching. That was the start of his coaching career.
I think the B team sat it out.
We had Doc Strawn reffing. So someone thought it'd be a good idea to bring Doc out. God love him. Anyway, I think...
Does he speak Spanish too?
No, but the penalty count... Like, these guys were guns. And the penalty count was like 11-1 to these guys.
Yeah.
And we're like, they don't need help.
Doc does not need help.
But Doc loved it. That was his shining moment.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, but they were great guys. But we were just worried about hitting the town. Like when we got back to Bonnie's areas, we were just worried about getting back out and about before we went home. But it was a good experience.
Who was the best on that tour? Who was the MVP? That really.
So off the field.
Yeah.
Like I'll put in three categories. Like there's
three categories.
There's the old supporters. So there's supporters.
Yeah.
And then there's like the old players.
Yep.
And then there's like and then the young crew. You so it. Like where do I start with the oldies? I know, like for me, like Mousy added so much value to that trip as an old fella. Like he was one of the old supporters. Like,
never heard of
him. No kids or anything. Yeah. He just come along for the pure fact. Like he's an old Greens guy.
Yeah.
And he was great. Like so he was one of the best from the oldies. And then with that next tier, you had like you had Pardo and Roach. Like you get them together. Like
and
his feet and Consi and Timmy Murph. Like, they just fed off each other. Like they were that older tier. Like we were pretty young. Like
I'd really
so we'd all look up to them a bit, and they were leading the charge a lot of the time. And then you had the young guys that were getting in a bit of strife. But I know Raptor was cracking value. Shawnee kept peaking too early. But he after seven.
Diamante phase.
That's what I was going to say. Was the Diamante? Yeah.
He was good.
Was Shawnee Rich on it?
Yeah, Shawnee Rich. There was guys
light.
On.
I remember Shawnee Rich how light he packed. Remember he had. We were saying, where's your bag?
I think he took two shirts, a jumper, and some shorts.
Just one backpack. Had one backpack.
Yeah.
And Lights on the trip.
Yeah, and then we thought Lights had his gear and.
Lights,
he had less.
He got it in there, Dave. He's like, no, he's backed himself. I told him he could back himself.
He had four spare smiles in his backpack. Like, he did not stop smiling that whole trip, that man. But anyway.
Timmy Harwin, when I think of that trip, I think it's Tim Harwin. Because he flew in, he didn't come, because he flew in from wherever he was.
Dubai. Abu Dhabi.
And I'd never actually met him before. And then he was leading the charge with most of the...
Brendan Evans
the Bus Trip songs and and he was he brought it.
Brody had the Hardware Store song.
Brody had he had the band the gang
band. I don't know if this is a time place to say, but I just remember one thing I distinctly remember about that trip is the bus trip home from Tandil to Bonnie's Areas. Everyone was a bit flat. We had a massive night, and Pardo had been op shopping. Pardo went op shopping that morning before the
bus left.
Pardo's like, I found the highlights for the tournament or whatever. Yeah. Oh, fuck it, I'll whack it on. It's just this Argentinian porno that literally it went for 5 hours.
Like, a telly at the front.
Gabrielle? Gabby.
That was one of those halfway tellies that popped down, like, right in your face. And I remember being in that
seat. And we had Eskies in the case.
5 hours.
And we tuned out, but I'll tell you what, there was a few of the older touring parties that were glued.
Actually, into the storyline. Hey, I'm going to see what happens here.
Anyway.
She's moved to Hollywood for a acting career.
Yeah, she's actually really talented. Very talented.
So it was a 2 week trip?
Two and a bit. And a lot of people stayed on after, actually. Yeah,
Dingo, he kept going.
Yeah, up to his homeland of Peru. A lot of people kicked on. Peru, Uruguay, so.
Yeah, South America trips.
I'd been away.
Money, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. So.
I think I can't.
Yeah, no, we come straight home, but I heard a few guys talking about it, like
two and a half weeks was long enough.
Fuck,
put it that way.
The flight home would have been quite like.
How was the flight home?
I was probably sleeping again. I don't know how it was for Hicker, but he might have been.
he would have assumed the position forward.
Stuck in upright.
There's been a bit of chat about it recently. I'd love for the club to try and coordinate one again. Like, I know there's been a bit of talk about Japan and that.
It's
always
been spoken about. I think ever since. It's
I don't know if it's a coincidence, but like we had those few years, and I know a lot of the young guys went on that trip, and a lot of the guys that went actually played 2011 and had a lot of success after. Like, I think it's just good to be, like, obviously we've got a great culture as it is, but those trips just bonded even more, and I think it's just great for a club. It'd be great if they could organise another one. Another trip, like another part of the world. Like,
we mentioned Japan, a couple of times on here. Yeah.
You'd be dangerous in Japan,
yeah, definitely.
I'd be.
Name right over you. A few broken necks.
You have to weigh down.
Yeah.
Someone's just got to organise. That's all coming down. Someone's just got to have the time.
I know. Dean Burt's also throwing his hand up. So, Dingo.
They got a sevens comp in Japan?
They would.
There's sevens comps everywhere.
Would you play?
Yeah, I'd play.
I'd play sevens.
Yeah, I'd have a go.
Yeah. I'll put a field goal.
A or B team.
Oh, B team.
Yeah, yeah, B team.
Yeah, like, so the team that can get flogged.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you're allowed to.
You know, yeah. I'd do that. I reckon that'd be great.
Get that'd be awesome.
40 of us.
Many blokes can.
And I've always said, you want to, everyone's like saying, mate, I watched those supporters on that trip. And I remember, and I was like, next time I want to be one of those. We'd get up there at 10 o'clock, they'd sit up on the deck and crack a beer.
Good luck, boys. And they'd clap us out, like, try and clap their credit, out, make a little, like, tunnel to clap us out, but they're just like,
fuck. Argentina was a perfect venue, and we've spoken about it before. Like, you don't want to go places where they're good at rugby. Like, you don't want to go to New Zealand or South Africa and get flogged. Like, you pick those fewer nations and embrace it and enjoy it.
Going to be good, but that was
But like, you go to those obscure nations and it'd be unreal. Japan's a perfect example.
Yeah, close.
It's only 8 hours, 8-9 hours.
Yeah.
You guys have got a bit of power there. So I reckon you two could really get the ball rolling. So and on Saturday we'll be spruiking it on Saturday. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Sponsors.
I've got a few mates that have been to Japan before and they've partied with some certain
gals,
unsavory characters.
Yeah, right.
Over in Japan.
That's what it's all about.
So I know where we can. Yeah, we can go.
The Yakuza.
Not saying. But we could probably make it happen. We could, definitely. I reckon that's something we'll go.
I'm in for a supporter. Log me in for a supporter ticket. Yeah,
no, I'll play.
It'd be good watching these.
You B team?
I'll tell you what.
Just look from the inside this time.
Inside, outside.
Sure, these guys running around now. They'd be perfectly suited to sevens. I'd love to see Rousey have a run at sevens. But anyway,
it was good when we took a team to Crescent Head at the start of the year. It's good to see like the new guys have a crack.
Yep.
And these Whippets just fucking just tear it up. We should do that again.
Crescent Sevens is one of the best trips ever. Like when we were playing, we do it every year. We did Kiama. Yeah. Like it was
a pre-season trip. But we went in February, came back, and then just ripped straight into the season.
It was good. I don't know how some of these guys would go in Japan though. They might get. They might get into a lot of trouble.
That's right. You need fitness on and off the field. Off the field is probably more important, your fitness. But anyway.
But now, speaking of the trip, we've come to that time in the podcast.
Yep.
The big question. I know you've been studying.
Well, you asked me before, and I still haven't got an answer. So the four of us
are going on an end of season trip.
It caught me off guard.
So, all right. We're going to Japan. The four of us.
Yeah.
You can bring three players each from any era.
Or gotcha, because I must. Kick
us off, Ed.
So we can bring
three players each.
Do we have to decide on the three?
No. You pick three.
Sam picks three. Any error?
I was looking up a couple when you asked me. I was looking up a couple of those photos, and I did spot. He'd be annoying. Obviously, they'd be annoying. But sometimes with that annoying behaviour. Attracts a
Chase Rowan has been mentioned a few times.
Oh yeah, he'd be annoying.
Don't say Wolf. Are you saying Wolf?
No, I saw Sam Gilmore up there.
I do like chili.
He could, he'd be torched, especially in Japan. Yeah. But I think he'd be the buying the 100 shots night one type guy.
Yeah.
Number two, because I just saw him out there trading, I'd probably take Sam Bright.
Okay.
I think he'd love it. And he...
he's good for a song.
He's great for a song, great for a bus trip, and he can handle himself on a bender. Many Mad Mondays and Silly Sundays with Sam Bright. Number three, I didn't get to as far as number three, but I might, current teamer, I might...
Well, I'm already gone.
Oh, you're in
there. We're four of us already in.
That was the first part of the question.
You're up. Shit, correct now.
Yeah, I know. That was. I haven't got a third one up my sleeve yet.
We need to take your mate Reeves, eh? Pass him down.
I'd give it to a.
Take Renfrew. Renfrew would be good. He's had a mention lately.
He's not coming home from Japan, trust me.
He's a good man, Renners. No, good man.
I would. I'd take everyone through.
Yeah.
He'd be a great companion on the trip.
He would be.
Think he's gone, Renfrew. You think he's down and out and he finds that second win.
Who was the right? He's always the first one there on a silly Sunday and the last one to leave. So
he's just got to grow his mustache out.
I might regret all those decisions, but. You could literally choose anyone on that wall or anyone out there. You'd have a brilliant time. Yeah, you got a three-tiered answer?
That three-tier was just for the touring party. My first two were just, I didn't ever, when you asked me half an hour, I didn't ever think. So without question, Monkey Davis straight up.
Yes.
My first memories, 07, 08, 09, was literally Monkey in the old green room, and then straight to Kingers, wristwatch. Like, he's a machine. He's the best. Without doubt, Monkey. Second, I know he's one of my best mates, but I've travelled the world with him, and like Jimmy Vegas, if you want someone to add value and make you laugh, he's your man.
Definitely.
And people question his resilience, but mate, he's on a, when you're on the beers and on a trip, there is none better. I'm telling you, he will go and go and go. Yeah. You don't have an idea. Mm. And then the third one, it actually stumped me on the third one. I'd probably split two characters and take half and chuck them in the backpack and take them both. Two mates. No, throw them both. Strawny.
Do I want your phase or now?
Mate, I'll take him any phase. I'll take him any phase. I know everyone says Strawny.
Diamante comes out and you know he's going to have a big night now.
I love it because, and he knows it, he'll admit this. I love getting under his skin. My night is made just by getting Strawny stirred up. So that'll be good value entertainment for me. But Strawny and Dingo, and Dingo's there to keep us all in check.
Yeah.
You know where you stand with Dingo. And if anyone wants to go to bed, you'll get you out of bed and you'll keep going. So, that's a little bit biased because there's a few of my mates, but
Beautiful.
Roach will be disappointed. Roach will be disappointed, but I saw that man in Hong Kong. Holy dooly.
your buckshot?
He was he was best on ground.
I was trying to get Fred to actually have a runner in that so I could go.
Oh, mate. It's.
So, I spoke to him at I saw him at the Burwood. No, I said, we're going to Hong Kong for Sam's buck show.
Yeah.
And we'll go on the races. Well, how many? You went three nights?
Four invited 12 went, and 4 nights, yeah.
And that was when we had Lucia Valentino. I was like, Fred, run it over in Hong Kong. I'll come with you.
I need to get the mugger. Get mugger two over there for the
couple of boys are going over. Get it in. We'll go. You and me. And didn't play. Didn't come off.
Get one in Japan when we do this trip in Japan.
Well, hopefully one of Mate, you've got a couple. I've got one.
Got to be in it doing it.
Yeah.
You know. We'll see.
Well, bit of homework.
Muchas gracias, dos hermanos.
That was great, guys. Thanks for that.
A couple of cool meals over the weekend.
That's good.
You're going to be here for Sunday?
Like you said before, I missed out on the 2011. Which was torture. But I'll tell you what, the boys didn't need me. It looks like they ripped in. I'm here Saturday, so I'm super keen actually, and catch up with all the old faces.
It is also Ladies' Day.
Oh yes.
We were going to have a couple of ladies on. We're going to have Alicia Frost and Kate Streffield on.
She's but a gun,
next week we're going to have them on. How they went on Ladies' Day.
They've got some good stories from that old green room.
I bet they do. And one other thing before you get to our sponsor, Jones, we've got the players' raffle is going to be this. Raffle ticket's going to be on sale at the game.
Okay.
He's
aware. Fully aware.
Are you trying to fucking sell them to me? Or
no, I'm not selling them. but you can win a SLD custom board.
Awesome.
Signed New South Wales Origin jersey or a signed Roosters jersey, which I don't know why that's
you've been
terrible.
Busy.
That's
a terrible. You've been networking
for I haven't done it. No, Billy Dunn. Billy Dunn messaged me and said, can you knock a poster up for this? So, it's one ticket for $10 or 8 for $50.
Where's does the money go?
It's going to the Players Welfare Fund, so to help with assist with injuries, education. Have you, you've know, we've spoken to a few guys. They need
that fund wasn't big enough.
They need it
when we were playing. Yeah.
Injury assistance, all that kind of
stuff.
Glad
I've retired. I would have chewed up that.
Yeah. So they'll be on. They'll be, the boys will be walking around the ground on Saturday.
Yeah, cool.
Selling
beautiful.
Them.
Selling it.
Dig deep.
Yeah, it's good. Club's in a good way at the moment. Yep. So thanks again for coming on. Thanks, no. Plug up, as always.
We've got a sponsor.
Yeah, we'll do a cool project group tonight.
I better hire
them. Yeah, Jamie and Fearless Leader owns the company. They do a lot of work. They helped us build the green room. They did a lot of good work. So, you know, thanks very much for your support, Jamie and Tom. Thank you very much. See you next week.
See you, guys.
Thank you.